television will be talked today. Specifically, we got some plans on discussing the BBC Two and Netflix show Kunk on Earth and reactions to the tepid reviews of Ant-Man Quantumania this week on Taking It Down.
An elevator tape projection.
Welcome to Taking It Down, where we cordially unpack TV and film for our busy Alabama people who are also obsessed with television and movies as much as we are. I'm Blaine Duncan, one of the hosts. Taking It Down exists because I thoroughly enjoy dissecting why I like what I like and why I dislike what I dislike when it comes to TV, movies, sometimes books and music. I have an English degree and I'm also a teacher, so I try my best to pair those together to offer insight worthy of your time, because we know you're probably too busy to read everything out there. Plus, I was once your classic 80s and 90s kid who grew up in front of a television set and was thrilled to visit the movie theater for entertainment. Luckily, my ideas aren't the only set of viewpoints on the podcast every week, as with me are always these three. Adam Morrow, who's an erudite, traveling, and studio musician with a penchant for fine literature. Donovan Reinwald, a media specialist with encyclopedic knowledge on film and a lot more. And then there's Natalie Morrow, the first person to ask about fantasy, sci-fi, comics, trashy reality TV, and any Beyoncé album. From us, you get the obvious, but you also get the obscure. Here they are. It's our host who helps sort through what's good, what's bad, what they think, why they think it. First up, he's been reading Lolita in Tehran. It's Mr. Donovan Reinwald.
Great to be here, Blaine.
Is it? Is it?
I fly over to Tehran every day. Go read my Lolita.
Up next, she's taking a break from watching Daytona. It's Natalie Morrow.
Just really like watching those cars go around.
No, Adam Morrow this week. He's off in Tehran. And he will be back sometime. He's actually practicing again, making music some more. So catch him on the road. He'll be...
We're all very disappointed in him.
How dare he? He'll be with the Glory Fires, if you didn't catch an episode where we briefly talked about that, or I mentioned it in passing, I think. He is going to be on base, I think, with the Glory Fires. You can catch them. They're doing a short stint in the U.S. and then a longer stint in Europe. Some of us just lead a great life, don't we?
It's charmed.
You guys keeping up with this Ant-Man Quantumania? The reviews is really all I'm talking about, because I just, I'll read a headline, maybe an opening paragraph, not dip too deeply into the actual review in case I do end up seeing it.
I usually like to see what the critics I like on Letterboxd are saying. Uh-huh. The response seems pretty
tepid.
And then just kind of the buzz around it is like it's overstuffed. It's just Marvel selling this other movie, and it's just not that interesting, I guess.
I thought it was cruel that they said that one review talked about how we got to go back and reevaluate Thor: Love and Thunder, because maybe it wasn't so bad after seeing Quantumania. Which I didn't hate Love and Thunder, but you know me, I like things that are bad. So,
well, no, what Love and Thunder, remind me, was that the Christian Bale?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I didn't think that was very good. I remember.
That was fun.
Yeah.
It had its moments,
I think, but yeah.
That was the problem with it, is like sometimes it had moments that were better than the rest of the movie, and you're like,
it could have been real fun.
Natalie
Portman as Thor, which I thought was a really good idea. But Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, one of the Letterboxd reviewed, and again, I'm just glancing around, looking at headlines or maybe the first sentence or paragraph. I didn't share this with Natalie. I shared it with Donovan, and this person gave it a half star. Temper your expectations. But she says, I'm assuming it's a female in the picture, beginning to think the MCU is a money laundering front, because where is the budget going? Just the idea of a whole franchise being a money laundering front.
It is crazy to think about, like, especially in Quantumania, seems like it is nearly 100% CGI at this point. I mean, the actors are not even going to a real set.
And
they're
that,
going to a green screen. And then they're firing and like cheating all their actual computer nerds who can make it happen. Where's the money going?
I mean, it is a valid question, but it's also hilarious.
Kevin Feige raises for himself every year.
He's giving himself bonuses.
He's done such a good
job.
He's
done okay. It does bring me to another point I'll make in a little bit about James Gunn. I am curious what y'all's thoughts on that, because that somehow slipped by me, that James Gunn's going to be controlling DC, and it's going to be more cohesive now, but we'll get to that. Hold up, think of your thoughts on that one, I suppose. But my next question about Quantumania is, it's so CGI, it can totally pull you out, I guess, if you're not careful. And there is the review or two that says it just looks like actors not talking to anyone when they're side by side.
Did you ever watch the worst example I can think of this, which is Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow?
No, never did.
It was like the idea behind it's not good. The idea behind it was that it's like this is the first movie to be made like exclusively on green screen, essentially. And it seems like it has that flavor where it's just like two people in a room, like they could be filming one in California, mm-hmm. one in New York, for all the like human connection that they have. And then the back is everything so CGI, it just totally pulls you out of it. Of course, it was probably 15 years ago, so that the CGI has gotten better, but still.
I thought for sure you were going to say the worst example of this. Did you guys watch season 4 of Arrested Development?
Oh my goodness, that one was...
When I thought of like an actor, when I think about an actor in New York talking with an actor in California, like that is like the first or second episode of season 4 of Arrested Development.
Natalie, I bet you went back and watched the other version of that season that they did, where they put it more narratively.
I don't think we did.
Because it's good that way.
Is it? I can't remember.
It's a lot funnier.
It's a lot funnier and a lot better. And I'm glad I went back and watched it. It gave me a better idea of how it should have been initially.
Mitchell Hurwitz is like over here like, I was inspired by Rashomon. It's like, that's never a good sign.
one of the reviews I read was Matt Zoller-Seitz, whom, Donovan, I know you and I both respect quite a lot. And I think that might have been one of his complaints, though he didn't hate it nearly as badly as some critics. I did read his whole review. He wasn't quite as negative, but I think that one of his complaints was that it just felt at times too much like an actor by himself or herself. But every review I glanced at, though, talked about how the character of the Wasp was just background. It was like pitiful to even have her in the movie because she did nothing.
I'm pretty like, I will say this. Every time reviewers talk about women in Marvel, they mm-hmm. hate them, right? Generally, just like, what's the point of this character? We hate her. It's stupid. But this one I agree with. Like, I just, what's the point of that character? She's not done much or contributed much.
I literally, in the movie that bears her name, Ant-Man and the Wasp, cannot remember what she did. All I can remember is Ant-Man. Because Paul Rudd is very charming. And I hate Lost. So.
Yeah, me too.
Still resentful there.
Me too, big time. I was on a roller coaster with where I stand on Quantumania, even though I haven't watched it. I first started thinking, I don't really care. And then I saw the one trailer where it looked like, oh, it's going to have a lot of emotion in it. It's going to have some good scenes with, you know, a dad, daughter, you know, really trying to keep it together and also do heroic things. And now the reviews have me sinking back into my chair and not on the edge of my seat anymore.
So I think it's only worth seeing for Jonathan Majors.
Yeah, that's got to be it. He still comes on really impressive.
He's great. And the last two things I saw, well, he was fine in Loki. I mean, he just has really a cameo. But it's like the last thing I saw him in was Lovecraft Country, where it was terrible and he mm-hmm. was so good. And I'm like, John, please choose better roles for yourself.
It's not his fault as far as what he's doing with the work.
No way.
With the writing. Will James Gunn turn DC around? Will it make more interesting? Have you seen the trailer for The Flash?
Yes. Which looks like somebody opened up their toy box and was like, well, here's my Michael Keaton Batman toy. Can we use that?
So are they bringing in one of the Flashes from the show, the TV show? Did I see that wrong? I just like briefly saw this trailer out of the corner of my eye while watching the Super Bowl. And by the Super Bowl, I mean Rihanna's halftime show. but I didn't know if they were doing some kind of like multiverse kind of a thing too.
Very much so, but it's a matter of how much
are
they...
I think they're supposed to, yeah.
How much of it are they going to multiverse out? There's even, if you watch that trailer, there's even the Christian Bale Batman. But now, is it Christian Bale or is it going to be somebody just in that costume from a distance.
So, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, he's not in the trailer either that I remember. Michael Keaton definitely in the trailer. Two Ezra Millers playing off each other, like as if you weren't annoyed by one. Let's double down on it. But yeah, James Gunn's basically going to take over for DC. I don't know, you know, that could be good or bad.
I liked his Suicide Squad much, much, much better than the dreadfully dour one. And it seems like he's reaching into some, I mean, it could be, it's all going to end up being a big blockbuster movie that's terrible. But he's reaching into some franchises that have been kind of ignored, like The Authority, which started out as a Wildstorm comic and then DC acquired it, is actually pretty good. And apparently they're wanting to make a movie of it.
I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, it's actually pretty fun. Warren Ellis, who is not just the collaborator with Nick Cave for music tracks. He's also a comic book writer. Not the same guy. Same name.
Okay, I thought.
This Warren Ellis created it and wrote, I think, about the first half of it, and it's pretty decent.
Yeah, they could. James Gunn, at least it'll be a little bit more connected, I guess, with him at the helm, but it could be also too purposely goofy or something.
It's hard to imagine how they're going to do. I feel like DC, too many of their heroes are, like, all-powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how do you make a good, if they're trying to do, like, this DCU, whatever they're doing, how do you make that watchable? Where it's not just like, well, this guy can come in and do anything and fix everything. Like, where's the real, that's the hardest part with all the DC movies to me. It's just like, there's not a real, like, Achilles heel to any of these people.
Not many of them.
Just their moms sharing.
Right, which is, like, so stupid.
It's the only thing that can destroy. It's the only thing that can destroy them.
I think Gunn commented this week that his Superman's going to be really young for some reason. That's all I know. Maybe
is he, like, starting over? Like, slate clean with everybody?
Maybe.
Because that, to me, is the only way that works.
I'm sort of interested. When DC did something, they do lots of stupid events. And so does Marvel, right? Like, comic book events are always pretty stupid. But years ago, Grant Morrison took over. They did something called the New 52. Oh. And it was like a kind of a soft reboot or hard reboot of their characters. And Grant Morrison took over with a younger Superman who's not quite as powerful yet, who is, and what he was hearkening back to was like sort of those Superman comics from the 30s where he's like going at slumlords. And there's actually like a weird little piece of social commentary in it. So if they go that direction, that could be kind of interesting. They probably won't, but it could be cool.
We'll see. Did you either of you ever, since it's on streaming now, did either of you ever watch Black Adam?
No.
No.
I refuse to taint my opinion of The Rock by watching that movie.
I watched the last 10 minutes of it just to see the Superman cameo. Just to see why or how. It was exactly what you'd expect.
Dumb.
Yeah, I mean, he just shows up for like a minute and that's it. We'll take a break and talk on the other side about the Netflix show Kunk on Earth. So Kunk on Earth is Philomena Kunk. She is a BBC Two fictional journalist, I suppose she is. Very out of it.
I think she's good at her job.
Yeah, is she? She's not good at knowing facts, but maybe she's good at her job.
Well, neither is anyone related with that show, right? Because she's pulling out her producer's notes.
Oh, that's right.
It's just...
So, Kunk on Earth is a 5-episode Netflix show now. I think it's originated on BBC Two. There's more of this show, right?
But
you had to have BBC Two.
Yeah. I didn't realize that till today, but there's quite a bit of history with this character.
What does she cover on her other episodes that aren't on Netflix?
I looked it up earlier today, and then in proper Philomena Kunk tradition, I forgot all of it. So, but she's got a bunch of different series about like Kunk on humans and Kunk on whatever. And I hate saying the name of the show. because it feels, it's got a terrible mouthfeel.
Yeah, my when I said I want to watch Kunk on Earth, my wife was like, what is a kunk?
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's odd. Yeah. It's just her last name, and on Earth, she's covering the history of Earth in 5 episodes, which, I mean, that's a really good premise, because there are some interesting factoids you do learn if you didn't already know them that she totally gets wrong.
It's such a perfect send-up, too, of that sort of self-serious documentary type that I'm sure many of us were subjected to at some one point or the other. Just no sense of humor. I mean, like, it's very funny, but, like, the people making the documentary don't realize it's funny, right? Like, everything they're doing is very plotting and serious.
Is she kind of mocking that? Is that the deal?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's great.
It's certainly in the vein of Ali G, Borat, and Bruno from HBO days. Did you guys ever get a chance to see those?
It made me think of, especially Ali G, when he would go and talk to experts.
Yeah, and he's just foolish. So I think the only problem I have with the show is that it's almost too much like that, or even the Zach Galifianakis Between Two Ferns at times. There's moments of it, except no celebrities are on this so far. I've seen 3 of the 5.
That's right where I am, too.
Okay. I'm just one ahead of y'all.
You know, I do think it's very funny, but I also wonder if I hadn't seen it done a little better. Though, her premise topic, I guess, is about the history of Earth is just, that's just ripe for more jokes than you would have gotten just from the other two I mentioned.
Well, I think for me, like, thinking about have other people already done this better, like, this to me is way more palatable than the others that you mentioned, mm-hmm. just because the mm-hmm. character is not loud or obnoxious or have some weird tick that they do.
Or abrasive.
Yeah, like, because that kind of stuff, like, it's funny, but, like, the first time I watch it, I'm just annoyed. And, like, I can't, it's hard for me to get over it. Just how, like, it's just annoying to me. Yeah. But this is a lot more subtle, quieter. She's uh-huh. calm, and I love it.
Yeah, because she's, like, she perfectly nails that, like, it's very stupid, right? Like, everything that she says and does is very stupid, but she perfectly nails that, like, soft-spoken, like, I'm talking to the talking yeah. heads kind of person.
I love it. I think it's great.
and it's very funny. I think it's very funny.
We will spoil it a lot in case you want the jokes to be fresh for you. But I recommend it. Certainly a good show. Plenty of laughs for me, for sure. And I get that it's... I think that might be the good starting point for it, is that if you like Ali G, the Borat, the Bruno character from the HBO show, but it was just too cringeworthy, it was too absurdist even at times, then this is your show. Diane Morgan plays Philomena Kunk. I knew her from Afterlife on Netflix, the Ricky Gervais show Afterlife, ran for 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
She's a character on it that plays a pretty big role in the final season. She's not a doofus in that. She plays a pretty straightforward lady who just can't find love. She's down on her luck, but it's good. She does a good job. But here she's a doofus. And I love it. I've always, always, always loved the character who's just, and it's got to be so fun to play with, just to be stupid. Like, I have no idea what's going on. I'll admit that I'll incorporate that into a party sometimes. If people don't know me, I'll just be like, what is that you're smoking?
Blaine, you've done this to me. And I still am not sure if you're kidding or not. Like, you said something to me years ago, and to this day, I am not sure.
Do you remember what it was?
Yes. I remember we were getting coffee, you, me, and Adam, at Barnes & Noble in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, God.
And I made a joke, and you said, are you being sarcastic? And I just looked at you, and you said, I don't really understand when people are being sarcastic. I don't really understand sarcasm. And I was just like, that threw me so hard. And to this day, I don't know what the truth is.
I don't know. I don't know either. Like, I don't really understand
sarcasm. I was like, what? How can we talk? Yeah. How are you and Adam friends?
One of the best moments I ever seen it happen was a guy was smoking some cigarettes way back when they had Camel Cash. Remember, you could collect these little coupons? Or they weren't coupons.
Yeah, because I wasn't old enough to smoke yet.
Well, you could get these little Camel cash in if you built up, I don't know, 100 of them. You could mail them off for a lighter or something, you know, for free. And the guy, and I still respect this, and I probably still stole it from him. He looks at the guy smoking the Camels, and he says, what you got there, some sort of coupon? And he looked at me and winked. Like, I know what this is. I just watch. And I thought, this is brilliant. I want to see this so much more. Which is what's happening here a little. It's a little bit of winking at the camera she's doing. Like, watch me be absolutely ignorant of what I'm about to ask them. And there are times when she actually gets into some, by accident, gets to a deeper question.
I love the philosophy professor she's talking to, who always is like...
Is it Dr. Headley?
Like between... is that his name?
Well, I've tried to kind of think of them because they reoccur throughout the five episodes.
Yeah.
And is it the white-haired guy who's kind of longer?
White-haired guy. Yeah. And she's the one who asks about, like, your brain is full of pipes.
Yes. Like,
do you think one big... And he's like, well, you've actually chanced upon quite an interesting... And then the other one, and she's like, my mate Paul.
Oh God, poor Paul.
saw Jesus. It was like,
if I see him again, I'm gonna kill him. Yeah. He's a dead man.
Yeah.
And
the professor's like, well, you've actually stumbled upon an interesting question about the nature of providence.
Yes, exactly.
Like, he's always trying to keep it like,
yes.
He's very good at that.
He's got to be a great teacher because he does take something ridiculous and say, okay, well, let's take what you've gotten here. Natalie may have to incorporate that with her freshman.
No, I don't. I'm too mean.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if you guys have gotten to this episode. I don't know if it was in episode 4 or not. You know, all the people that she talks to, they're kind of like they're always very encouraging and just kind of go along with her and kind of try and redirect her and all this stuff.
Yes.
But there's one that she talks to, and it may be in episode 4, and it's the one American that has shown up so far that she talks to. Mm-hmm. And he is mm-hmm. not playing the game. And it is like kind of gets a little aggressive. It is amazing. Like, what is wrong with
Americans? I have not seen an American guy. I've seen an American lady who was a history professor.
Right.
Yeah, a history professor talking about the revolution.
Exactly, the revolution. I read also, which this always bums me out heavily, that some of them, there may be one or two of them that are in on the joke. Mm. That's always such a bummer.
I think there's more than one of them that's in on the joke.
Well, surely they all know her character. I mean, most of those UK folks would know the character. She's had a pretty good history with it.
Okay. And it's so hard to do this now because everybody's so familiar with the concept.
Yeah.
It's like this person's pulling my leg. The gentleman whom she talks to about Roman architecture, and he's an older guy, sort of a silver fox, handsome looking guy, and she asks him about anal bleaching. He really didn't know what that was, did he? So that was a sincere response, right?
It felt very sincere.
And he's borderline. I know Natalie brought up someone maybe we haven't seen yet, but he's borderline not wanting to do it, right? He's kind of on the cusp of like, this is ridiculous.
He also had the great bit when she's like, well, they were feeding Christians to the lions. He's like, right. There's not much evidence for that. And she's like, well, just for the sake of the show, pretend there is.
And then he you could tell he doesn't really want to. He says,
yeah.
Okay, feeding Christians to the lions. Feeding them to the lions. But he's really good. So I would like to see... I wish we could have a full show of someone who just was really smart, but there's just no way they could be in on the joke. I would just be so much entertainment, boundless entertainment on that.
It'd be interesting to know how much of that is just in the editing of it. Like, if somebody's an asshole, if they just give them a bad edit to make it look like they weren't playing along. But then the people that are, like, really nice and easy to work with, like, all right, we're going to make this look good.
You get the good version of this, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a good question. Was Jesus the first cancel culture? That's a shadow. Okay. You tell me that wouldn't pop up as an essay on The Ringer or something.
Or
name.
Absolutely.
I'm surprised it's not like an AP writing prompt.
Actually, Nick Cave on his blog, The Red Right Hand, described Christ as being canceled upon the cross.
They crucified him all the way.
not just a little bit, but all the way.
Till he was dead from it. Anyone who can be irreverent with religion is, I can immediately get on board. I just think that's so funny. And she does that with Islam, but then they edit it out or have to overdub over it because Lord knows what she said. That's pretty good stuff. And another thing I'm always a big fan of is reoccurring jokes. Just run it in the ground. Like, her friend Paul is just fantastic. Every time she brings him up, I sit up because I think, what's Paul gotten into now? And the pump up the jam.
So good.
I never get tired of it.
I'm really enjoying the facts that they're playing over it, too.
Yeah.
Yes. I was like, on, you know, 1879, this bridge collapsed and killed 62 people on a train. Something like that. It's just like running across the bottom of the...
They're totally falsified.
I assume.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Some of them are really
falsified. Some of them are obviously falsified.
Yeah.
I don't know if a train crashed or not.
The 1989 Belgian techno hit.
This is the national anthem of Canada.
That's the one that's completely
that
falsified.
I had to take a break and be like, is she saying Ottawa during that like chorus?
And she does say Christian funny, but is that a British thing?
Probably.
Christian.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's fair. Yeah, we recommend it if we haven't ruined it for you. I think we've got a lot of kicks out of it. It's one of those shows where it might not be immediately funny if you're watching it alone, but if you've got a couple buddies who watched it or watch it with you, it's probably a lot better. Is that how y'all feel about it?
Yeah, I would also, just because I'm not particularly into funny things for the sake of them being funny, have a glass of wine and then enjoy it, if that's your thing. Get yourself, whatever you have to do to get into that headspace of allowing yourself to enjoy things.
There you go. Donovan, so you're thumbs up on it, right?
I'm thumbs up on it. We unfortunately have been watching it with the subtitles on because that's an ongoing battle in my house, which I hate.
Sure.
Doesn't that ruin part of the joke, though?
It ruins the joke.
Dang.
Oh, man.
But I also think that like some of the jokes are just like spit takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where she'll just like finish her thought. And it's like, it's an arrow from Robin Hood. He's mad with the entire round table about what they did to Gandalf.
That was the one where I would dock it points. I thought that her bit in the castle went on too long.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Oh, did you?
It just went
on too long.
Because it just kept going on and on. And she's like, that's how it happened in my castle.
Yeah, yeah.
That felt like a Borat bit to me.
That one felt sillier than the rest. But I think it's pretty good. Especially, it's 5 episodes. They're about 28 minutes each, minus credit scenes and stuff. It's good. We do recommend it. So we got a shorter episode today. We didn't have any Last of Us to talk about because it came out early last week. And we got to cover it early. We haven't watched it yet. That's right. We record on Sundays. But thanks for hanging out with us, people. We'll be back on Tuesday, next Tuesday. You can follow us, though. We have a Facebook group where some people have come along and commented on movies and talked about TV shows they're watching. It's been pretty fun. Make use of it if you wish. We're on Taking It Down Pod. That's all one word on Twitter and Instagram. Then the Alabama Takes all over the place, which covers anything us and anything website related. You can find all that online. Find it. Say hello. It's definitely one of us. It's definitely me or one of the other people with the Alabama Take on there doing them. So say hi to us. We'll talk to everybody next Tuesday.